Hi, my name is Dmitry Kovaisky. I'm one of the Grameen core maintainers from Intel Labs. I've been working on Grameen for the last couple of years. I gave a similar talk on Grameen at the time called Graphene at FOSDEM last year. This year, I will largely cover the same topics, but with a more hands-on approach. As such, I will not go too deep into the technical inner workings of Grameen. Instead, I will highlight how to use Grameen to run existing applications and what is the current status of a project. Also, I'm assuming that the audience knows about Intel SGX and TEs in general, so I will skip this background. This is a presentation by an Intel representative, and thus I must show the following legal disclaimer. First, an important remark, Grameen was previously called Graphene. For a variety of reasons, we decided to rename Graphene to Grameen. This name change happened in September last year. Grameen is an open community. Currently, two companies, Intel and ITL, are the most active members of the community, but we really hope to grow it, and we invite all interested parties to join and contribute in the form of pull requests, GitHub issues, discussions, tutorials, etc. We also have sizable contributions from other companies like IBM and Alibaba. Productization of Grameen is done by Intel. Most of our work happens directly on GitHub, but we also have mailing lists and the Gitter chat. Let's start with some basic information on Grameen. Grameen is a library OS software that emulates the Linux kernel. In other words, Grameen can be thought of as a tiny Linux kernel re-implementation in user space that is able to run unmodified Linux applications. One important feature of Grameen is that it supports multi-process applications. Think of a bash script that spawns child processes or an Nginx web server that creates worker processes. More technically, this means that Grameen supports fork, clone, and execv system calls. Another important feature of Grameen is that it is architected in such a way as to easily support different backends. To date, we have a Linux backend, we call it Direct because it directly forwards requests from the application to the host OS, and the Linux SGX backend, which runs the application inside an Intel SGX enclave. In the future, we may add support for more backends, for example, an Intel TDX backend. Grameen is an open source project with all development happening on GitHub. Grameen can be easily deployed in the cloud environment, for example, in the Azure Kubernetes service. An important development in our project is that Grameen officially joined the Confidential Compute Consortium, CCC, last year. Simultaneously, Grameen got its first production-ready release. From this moment on, we plan to release a new version of Grameen every quarter with new features and bug fixes. During these years, Grameen went a long way from being a small research proof-of-concept project in 2014 to a production-ready version in January of 2022. In the past several years, we successfully enabled multiple widely used applications in Grameen. In 2021, we significantly improved support of Python, Golang, Rust, and Java applications. We hope to support more and more use cases as we grow. As I mentioned before, one of the benefits of Grameen is its modular architecture. This architecture allows to run unmodified Linux applications on different platforms in different environments by switching from one Grameen backend to another Grameen backend. Technically, Grameen takes a Linux x86-64-based binary and its dependent libraries without modification or recompilation and lets it run in another environment. For example, the currently available and most widely used configuration is running applications inside an Intel SGX enclave on top of the untrusted Linux kernel. But maybe you want to run your Linux x86-based binary in a RISC-V Keystone enclave on top of Windows. This configuration doesn't exist yet, but may be possible in the future. Grameen helps in running applications in such environments. Grameen, of course, needs a new backend to enable these environments. In other words, Grameen allows to lift and shift an application from one environment, native Linux, to another one, for example, protected SGX environment. It is important to understand that Grameen is a library OS with a modular architecture. Let's decipher this definition. Library OS means that Grameen is like a tiny re-implementation of a Linux kernel that is very small in size, somewhat limited in its functionality, and is tailored to run only one application. This application can spawn multiple threads and processes, but Grameen cannot run several distrusting applications at once, as classic operating systems do. Since Grameen is a library OS, Grameen itself runs as a normal user-level process on the host OS. Grameen has a modular architecture. Grameen is not a monolithic code base. It actually runs as two closely interacting components, the main Grameen component and the backend component. I will explain the details of its operation later, but for now it's important to know. The backend component can be switched to another implementation without modifications to the core Grameen component. To allow the switching between different backends, Grameen specifies the API interface between the main component and the backend. Let's look at the interfaces of different layers. First, the application enabled inside Grameen must be a Linux application that uses a classic Linux system call interface to request functionality from the host kernel and to communicate with the outside world. Grameen currently implements 167 most widely used syscalls. The unimplemented syscalls are mainly deprecated ones or sysadmin ones. Neither of these are needed to run real-world cloud applications that Grameen targets. Grameen intercepts the system calls and invokes their corresponding emulations in its main component. Grameen tries to resolve most system calls by itself, but in some cases must forward the request to the host OS. One example of syscalls resolved inside Grameen itself are user permission checks. Grameen maintains a lot of metadata on open files, connections, created threads, and processes, and consults this metadata on each system call. And examples of syscalls that are forwarded to the host OS are input-output syscalls, like receive and send, because Grameen obviously cannot communicate with the outside world without the help of a host platform. I must note, though, that all forwarded syscalls are also keep relevant metadata, and Grameen verifies this metadata for consistency. So when Grameen needs to ask the host OS for some resources or functionality, it doesn't just issue a direct syscall to the host kernel. Instead, Grameen goes through one level of indirection, the backend component. The backend is needed to adjust the Grameen request to the capabilities of the underlying platform. The backend is kept minimal and stateless, and Grameen calls into this backend via 44 functions. This is the Grameen API between the two components. The main code base of Grameen stays exactly the same for different backends. If you want to run your Linux application inside an SGX enclave, you simply use Grameen with an SGX-specific backend. The SGX backend is currently the primarily used one of Grameen. Because the Intel SGX technology dictates separation of a process into trusted and untrusted parts, Grameen's SGX backend consists of two parts: the trusted part that runs inside the SGX enclave and the untrusted part that runs outside. Trusted part performs all calls to exit the enclave and pass control to the untrusted part. There are 38 all calls in total. The untrusted part forwards requests to the host kernel, gets back the results from the host, and re-enters the enclave. It is important to note that these 38 SGX OCLs are the only attack surface in Grameen. So we audit all these OCLs and add checks and validations to them to make sure attacks from the untrusted host are thwarted. We believe that having 38 controlled entry points between the enclave and the untrusted world in the form of OCLs is a good compromise between security, usability, and performance. But when we talk about trusted execution environments, we also frequently judge the level of security by lines of code in the Trusted Computing Base, or TCB. On the metric of TCB, Grameen offers a good compromise. The main component of Grameen is about 25,000 lines of C code. Grameen is written in modern C with a bit of assembly here and there. And this number is periodically decreased via code removal and refactoring. The direct Linux backend is about 12,000 lines of code. For comparison, the source code of open source version of Redis without additional models is about 144,000 lines, and the tiny configuration of a Linux kernel is at least 270,000 lines of code. When we look at the SGX environment, then main Grameen component stays the same, obviously, and the SGX backend has around 21,000 lines of code in the trusted part and another 4,000 in the untrusted part. Only the trusted part of a backend runs inside the SGX enclave, so the actual Grameen TCB for Intel SGX is around 46,000 lines of code. We regard this as a very small TCB for a framework that is able to run a wide range of applications. In the last year, we worked a lot on user-friendliness of Grameen. In the course of this talk, I will show command line snippets on how to use Grameen. First, we need to install Grameen on the SGX-enabled machine. To this end, we prepared Ubuntu and CentOS packages, and we publish them on our Grameen website with each new release. Therefore, installing a release version of Grameen is as simple as running apt install. The Grameen repository must be added to the list of trusted repositories on the system beforehand, of course. To sign SGX enclaves, a private key of the enclave owner must be used, and if there is no private key yet, Grameen has an utility to generate this key. These are all the preparations. Now we can try a hello world example with Grameen. In Grameen, each application must be accompanied by a so-called manifest file. It is a plain text configuration file. I will show an example of a manifest file on the next slide. Let's assume that the manifest template is correctly filled out. Now, this template must be run through a special Grameen manifest utility to generate a Linux Direct or non-SGX version of a manifest. To be able to run the Hello World application inside an SGX enclave, we must also generate a Linux SGX version of a manifest, as well as a sigstruct file needed for SGX, using another special utility, Grameen SGX sign. Finally, some SGX platforms require the so-called ENE token file, so Grameen provides another utility called Grameen SGX get token to generate this token. After these preparations, we have all the required files to start our Hello World application. To run the application in direct non-SGX mode, we simply type Grameen direct hello world, and to run the app inside the SGX enclave, we type Grameen SGX hello world, and that's it. We mentioned the manifest file in the previous slide required by Grameen. As typical in security critical environments, the application running inside an SGX enclave with Grameen must be accompanied by a security manifest. This manifest is a plain text file in a TOML format. Let's look at a small example. First, the manifest must specify the actual executable to load and run, in this case, the Hello World executable. Next, the manifest may add or override the required environment variables. The manifest should also specify a subset of HostOS directories to be mounted, so that only they are visible to the enclavized application, possibly under a different name as shown in this example. Here, the Grameen provided libraries silently replace the system-wide libraries. Next, the manifest contains some SGX architecture-specific variables, like the maximum enclave size, the maximum number of simultaneous enclave threads. And finally, this example shows how the files to be consumed by the SGX enclave must be marked as trusted. In this case, Grameen calculates the secure hashes during build time, appends these hashes to the manifest, and during runtime, Grameen will verify that the files were not modified. There are several more manifest options in Grameen to enable additional functionality. The manifest file is the single most important file when enabling applications inside Grameen and Intel SGX. Ultimately, the security and correct functioning of the application depends on how the manifest file is written. A very important aspect of any trusted execution environment is remote attestation. Remote attestation in Intel SGX comes in two flavors, EPID and DCAP. The former is used in client machines, whereas the latter is used in data center environments. Grameen supports both EPID and DCAP attestation schemes. Grameen provides support for three levels of attestation flows. The low-level interface that is exposed to the application via the dev attestation pseudofile system. It exposes the low-level abstractions of the SGX report and the SGX quote through a set of pseudofiles. This interface is very flexible and allows to construct arbitrary attestation flows. On the other hand, this interface requires modifications to the application. So there is a mid-level interface that provides the ArrayTLS library shipped together with Grameen. This library provides an abstraction of a secure TLS channel, but with specially crafted X509 certificates that embed the SGX code. ArrayTLS uses raw dev attestation pseudofiles under the hood. And finally, there is the high-level interface, the secret provisioning library that is also shipped together with Grameen. This library can be preloaded to move the secrets, such as private keys and passwords, into the SGX enclave without any modifications to the application itself. Secret provisioning library uses ArrayTLS under the hood. To gain more understanding into this topic and the provided interfaces, we recommend to read Grameen documentation on attestation, and also look at our examples that can be found in the Grameen GitHub repositories. We have two examples that show how the mid-level and the high-level interfaces can be used by applications. We also have an example with Azure Kubernetes Service deployment. Additionally, we are happy to mention the Ageless Marble Run project that seamlessly integrates with Grameen to provide a secure service mesh. Ageless Marble Run provides remote attestation and secret provisioning services not to just one SGX application, but to a set of SGX applications, constituting a service mesh. Until now, we discussed how to enable standalone applications in Grameen. This process requires writing a manifest file. To write a manifest file, the application developer must know the exact requirements and dependencies of the app. In other words, the application developer must manually describe the packaging of your application in the manifest file. However, there are already application packaging solutions that solve this problem. One of them is Docker. Therefore, we provide a tool called Grameen Shielded Containers, or GSC for short. GSC takes a base Docker image with the application to protect and a tiny abridged manifest that contains only the SGX-specific manifest options that cannot be deduced from the base Docker image. GSC creates a Graminized Docker image from the base Docker image in two steps. The first step is GSC build, which combines the original Docker image and the Gramin containing Docker image into one, scans the entire image, and adds all detected files to the user supplied abridged manifest, generating the final manifest. The second step is GSC sign, which simply signs the Graminized Docker image with the user private key. This is done as a separate step to have more flexibility. Typically, signing happens on a separate system than building. After that, the Graminized Docker image can be distributed to SGX-enabled platforms and the Graminized Docker container can be run. Note that with GSC, the application runs inside Gramin inside Docker, not that Docker engine runs inside Gramin. Therefore, GSC provides an easy option to run already existing Docker images in Gramin SGX enclaves. Here's an example of how GSC can be used to transform an application Docker image to a Graminized Docker image. As an example, we will use a public Docker image of Python available on Docker GitHub. To build the unsigned GSC image from the base Python image, we run the GSC build command. It takes two inputs, the base image called Python and the abridged manifest, which contains only two lines, the SGX enclave size and the number of SGX enclave threads. Out of these two inputs, GSC produces a new, but not yet final, Docker image that contains Gramin files and the original Python files. In the next step, to finalize this Docker image, we run the GSC sign image command. It takes two inputs, the intermediate Docker image of Python and the private key with which to sign the SGX enclave. Now GSC produces a final Docker image called GSC Python, note the GSC prefix. The work of GSC is done, we have a Graminized Docker image. Now it can be run as normal via the Docker run command. The Graminized Docker container runs Python in the SGX enclave. And that's it. Some other important features of Gramin include exitless or asynchronous OCLs, fully featured multi-process support with encrypted inter-process communication, support of both glibc and MASL standard C libraries, and some other features. We would also like to highlight performance of Gramin. We tested Gramin on many real-world workloads, and we benchmarked Gramin extensively. We cannot yet share the detailed information, but we typically observe performance overhead of less than 20%, with some workloads exhibiting the overhead as low as 2%. Gramin is currently used in several projects. Unfortunately, many of them are under development and they have no public releases yet. The only project we can mention is the OpenVINO security add-on plugin for trusted machine learning training. There are also projects on trusted federated learning, trusted analytics, secure virtual network functions, and databases that utilize Gramin. We also have a web page of users of Gramin that contains a list of startups and companies building their use cases with Gramin. If you use Gramin in any of your projects, we encourage you to write to us and you'll be added to this list. There is a lot of ongoing work on Gramin. We continue to add support to Gramin to enable new runtimes and new workloads, as well as make them more stable. Actually, a lot of current work in Gramin is centered around rewriting and refactoring old subsystems that contain bugs. We also explore possibilities of integration of Gramin with confidential container solutions. One prominent example is Kata containers. As for plans that stretch far in the future, end of this year and beyond, we plan to support more TE backends. One particular TE we plan to support is Intel TDX to run small Graminized applications in trusted domains. We also hope to add support for communication with hardware accelerators, such as GPUs. And we also want to add a form of coarse-grained partitioning of applications to enable use cases like DPDK, where the core, the control plane, is executed inside the enclave and the data plane is executed in untrusted world. If you want to learn more information about Gramin, please visit our Gramin project official website and our GitHub repository. Thank you for attention.
Is it really 224 unnecessary or 166? What's the difference? What do you include? What you don't include?
Yes. So thank you for this question. Indeed, we currently support 167 system calls. Sometimes we add a couple more, but quite rarely these days. The paper talked about those 224 syscalls for all kinds of applications. Including applications that, for example, do some administrative work or do some kind of like file system partitioning. And this types of administrative tasks are not supposed to be run inside SGX enclaves. And so Grameen does not support these applications, and thus Grameen doesn't implement this subset of system calls that are used more for direct communication with hardware or working with doing something like a ptrace on another application. So we don't need to support these system calls. And another important thing is that it turns out that many system calls may be simply disabled, unsupported, and then most applications, because they support legacy systems, like they can run on something as old as Linux 2.6, these applications will simply fall back when they fall back to another syscall implementation when they see that some syscall is not implemented. So it seems that 167 is like more than enough to run applications that are typically need to be run inside SGX enclaves.
What is the most complicated in terms of syscalls application you run on top of your system?
In terms of syscalls?
Yes.
Ooh, good question. I guess Python and Microsoft.NET is the most interesting one, I guess. Yes, we can now run the .NET framework, at least some workloads on it. And .NET actually required, we needed to implement file system lock-in, like flock, and we needed to implement like memory pages lock-in, stuff like this, because this was required by the .NET framework. So this was pretty, I guess this framework is the one that requires the most system call implementations. It doesn't have any like fallbacks.
Okay, thank you very much. Very interesting. There's another question is from Yo. It's a quite long question. So paraphrasing, he asks, you're using your custom ABI interface between SGX enclaves and your host system, which is probably can be prone for errors or can be buggy, or you might not be very skilled in writing your own interfaces. So do you consider using existing, probably cleaner, safer frameworks and systems like SGX SDK or Open Enclave SDK?
At this point, no. So the short answer is no, we don't consider using some low-level primitives from SGX SDK or Open Enclave. We thought about this about 2-3 years ago, and I guess a simple answer is that we didn't want to like take this upon us, and we were pretty confident in our low-level assembly code. And like with time, we just don't see that much other than that part, other than the like low-level assembly code to enter and exit the enclave. We don't see